This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Did you guys all just get in this morning? Did you come in last night?
Last night.
So let me start by saying you had huge success with Zombieland. How much did you feel any sort of pressure about, you know, what project you wanted to do for the next one?
Yeah, a lot. I mean, I was super aware of choosing something I felt like would both be. I felt like I wanted to show my taste as a filmmaker in a way, and since I'm not a writer, I'm not in full control of, like, coming up with those stories I want to tell, and so it's really selecting from material. And so I wanted something that was kind of tonally in the vibe of what I really like and love, and the movies that this reminds me of are, like, Dog Day Afternoon and Out of Sight and Raising Arizona and Big Lebowski, a little bit of Reservoir Dogs. So I, you know, those types of like just really original films, and this script is definitely original, and that was important to me. But also just in far as scale of movie, I had opportunities to do a lot of big movies, and I just was a little nervous about doing something that I would call biting off more than you could chew, and just taking a big movie just because it's, you can, but maybe not being ready for it, not being able to deliver, and then screwing up my career by, you know, laying an egg or something like that. So I really just wanted to do something that was on a scale I felt comfortable with, but at the same time was like an original story that I could craft that was funny and had a great cast and was a story that I haven't seen told before.
Earlier you said with a bit of remorse, sorry we're not shooting a lot of action today, but all the movies you mentioned, the dialogue really is the action. Is that the case here, where it's more about volleys of dialogue as opposed to, you know, barrages of bullets?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, I just remember on the set visits for Zombieland, we were like smashing zombies or, you know, shooting things.
Well,
and
there.
So like on a relative scale, like this is to me not as exciting if I were visiting a set as like seeing a bunch of zombies get their heads blown off. But no, I mean, I think it's about the characters always in the relationships and the comedy. And this movie's got a lot of all those things. Like, it's got seven really incredibly original characters, and the comedy is amazing. When you have this type of talent, and they're, to me, the funniest people there are, and they've been killing it the whole film, so.
If I can have a follow-up, there's a whole line in Chekhov about how if you bring a gun on stage in the first act, it better go off by the third. I'm not asking you if a bomb goes off, but what I'm asking is, are there discussions about whether or not you fulfill the promise of a bomb going off? Was that a big part of pre-production?
Well, I think I agree with the notion. You can't have it not go off.
Fair enough. So you said, like, obviously, you know, when we heard about you being offered some bigger movies, but, like, do you think you would like to use some of these, like, action comedies as a stepping stone to do, like, a huge action movie?
Perhaps. I mean, I just want to make sure whatever I take on, I can deliver. And I have only made one movie, so to do, like, a huge $100 million movie and have to bear the pressures of something of that scale, it's just very intimidating. And also, on this movie, because we're doing it not directly through the studio, but through MRC, and I'm working with really cool producers, we've had pretty much complete creative freedom.
Okay.
We didn't have a single note on the script from anyone, and we didn't have any real casting requirements. So, like, we pretty much were left to our own devices to make this movie, and that's, to me, the most important thing, was having that creative control. And on those bigger movies, you just are, you know, you have so much more politics, and it's not your movie as much. Like, if you're involved with a huge star or a huge franchise, you're just a kind of pawn in that whole situation. So I just wanted to have something where I could really felt like it was mine, I could lay my hands on it and craft it.
Are you referring to Mission Impossible 4 right now?
Well, I mean, anything like that, or, you know, there was a couple of superhero type things and whatever, just bigger movies. There's bigger people than you, or than me, you know. If it's a huge director, I can see that being one thing, but with me, you know, on a second film with a small, you know, $20 million movie under my belt, I'm not the final say on a lot of things.
I'm curious, I've already heard two F-bombs out there. How obviously this is R-rated.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I wanted to know, how far across the line are you going with this thing?
The F-bomb is not a stranger to this set. There's a lot of profanity. I mean, there's not much else. There's some nudity, actually. That was the first time I've shot nudity. But yeah, there's a lot of swearing.
that you don't really mind people taking liberty with the script and kind of taking... There was obviously a lot of improv already. Is that something that you encourage on
set? Yeah, 100%. Like, especially when you have people like Danny and Nick or Jesse or Aziz, like Pena too. They're all just so good at it. We have a great script, and I usually try and get something resembling the script to begin with, but they're just... When you have people at that level of talent, it would be... to me just a waste just not to access it. And so I mean, some of the funniest things that we've shot already have been things that they came up with in the moment. And you know, I feel like as long as it's not completely self-indulgent and then you exercise restraint in the editing room and you don't just put in tons of improvs for the sake of it, but just I think what it allows you is more than just doing the scene the same way every time, and then you just have a lot of versions of that scene. When they're constantly coming up with stuff, you have so many more options. When you play it for an audience, if that joke doesn't work, you have three more to go to as opposed to just the scripted joke or whatever.
Then let us look at the pages that you guys are shooting today. And when we were reading the dialogue, it was like I heard Danny saying it even before we heard him rehearsing it. Were these the guys who were like always you had in mind for these?
Well, I'm sure you'll talk to the writers about this, but I think they've brought it with Danny in mind. There's no way it could have been written with anyone else. And when I read the script, that was definitely specifically Danny, my first thought. And I kind of said when I was making it, the only person I want to have play that role was Danny. And so we really did everything we could to make it work with his schedule. And it was the only way I was going to make the film was if Danny played Dwayne.
And they're wearing those masks out there. We actually heard the dialogue, but was that something that logistically you guys were considering, like, not doing the way that you were, like, that you could loop it later
or something? The reality of those masks is we can use any line from any take or anything that we come up with later down the road. But they don't have the masks on for much of the movie. This is actually the first time we see the masks in the movie and the longest and pretty much... There's only two other scenes where they're wearing them, and they're much more reduced.
Was there a point at which, though, you were decided that you were thinking that you would just have them say the dialogue on set and then loop it later on, or was it always you're going to try to get it on while you're...
Yeah, we'll get it. Yeah, I mean, I won't do as many takes, that's for sure, because you're not seeing facial expressions, and we have all the different lines from all the different sizes to choose from, and we know that we can ADR it, so I'm not going to hammer the performance on a bunch of masks.
You talked about delivering a movie, which made me wonder, have you heard from the Domino's Corporation about the film's title?
No.
Okay, let's check.
I already noticed between rehearsals and them actually being on set, when they get the masks on, it, their physicality like instantly amped up. How much have you kind of guided them to that?
A lot of that's Nick's instincts, just knowing on the wider shots, like they're so small in the frame that, you know, being bigger is better, but I think he'll probably tone it down on the close-ups, but I think, you know, they don't have much else acting to do other than with their bodies, so I think it's smart to try and access that. I told Danny to be, and I didn't tell him, but I think Dwayne should be a little bit more just serious, and then Nick's character is actually a little bit more of the sidekick, and so he can be doing more of the comedy stuff, I think.
What's key for you in terms of making sure that there are actual stakes when you have sort of that action comedy balance that you have to maintain?
It's something that's really important to me, actually, and this movie has real life or death stakes, and I think that that's like pretty important, and it keeps it grounded. And you know, that's why I cast Jesse, because he's just such a talented actor. I mean, he's funny, but he'll play the reality really, really real. And sometimes with these other comedies, action comedies, where there's like life or death stuff, because it's all comedians who don't really like make too much of the acting, they don't play it real. It just goes into this farcical world. And that was definitely not my intent with this movie. I want the reality of this movie to be as real as like Dog Day Afternoon or any of those great kind of 70s movies, Straight Time and movies like that. But for the comedy, I want to be as funny as like, you know, Danny McBride. Aziz Ansari, Nick Swartz in comedy. Let's do one more and then I should go set up these shots.
I wanted to know, how tough was it for you to get Jesse Eisenberg? Was it one of these you had to plead with him? I mean,
no, it was. We love working together, and so I don't think it was too much of an issue. Honestly, it was. He was the only person I wanted, and I was, you know, I think he really wanted to do it, and so it was great that it all worked out.
Are you going to work with him again in the future?
Yeah.
We'll get him later.
Thank you for your time, sir.
We're going to go over back to...